Happy hump day, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FTN, right here on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany hanging out with you. Thanks for taking the time to hang out with me. If you're watching live on our FTN YouTube page, smash that like button. It would do us a lot of favors here over at FTN. If you're watching live on Game Plus Network, we could say live, right? I mean, we're live on our FTN YouTube page over at Game Plus Network 2 Eastern. It airs again over on Game Plus Network, I believe at 5 Eastern. All in Football, Jake Seeley has a show on Game Plus Network. Fantasy Footballers has a show. You can see Pat Mayo Experience, the GOAT, Emery Hunt, the Game Plan, his show on Game Plus Network this week as well. A great lineup over at Game Plus. Happy to be here. Happy to have everybody hanging out with us here today. Any questions, please leave them there in the YouTube section. We will continue to ask for your best bet of the day. Your best bet of the day. And now as I'm thinking, I don't know yesterday's winners. We'll have producer Tito. He's going to drop by. We can go through this together. Maybe he can help me out here on the fly. He's going to join us in segment three. There's a handful of games in the association. We are going to talk NBA. There's a few games in the NHL. Got some picks and some props. Going to give some love to the NBA DFS crew here today as well. We'll talk some prize picks. We're going to pump our tires just a little bit on this show. So you know what that means. Flat tires tonight when we give picks tonight, because yesterday was a pretty decent day in the betting and DFS world. We got our fifth day of 12 days of Christmas giveaways here, part of the FTN fam. We are giving away some stuff and we want to give some stuff to you. Tis the season for giving. It's still the season for giving. Seeing some people here hanging out with us live in the chat. Absolutely love it. If you are watching on Game Plus, hop on over to our FTN YouTube page and just smash that like button and leave your best bet of the day. Tino, if we do have that graphic live, you can throw it up. If not, no big deal. And there it is, Grinch hanging over the shoulder. We want your best pick of the day. It doesn't matter the odds. It doesn't matter the sport. It could be a prop. It could be a pick. It could be a teaser. It could be absolutely anything that you want. And we will take all the winning picks, put them into a draw, and on Tuesday, we will give away another FTN betting package. I have to give a shout-out to our guy, Lou Testa, who took home the FTN betting package. He already had an NFL package with us, and now he has the all-sports betting package. All sports, all picks from everybody over at FTN. Not just picks. You got the Discord channel across all the sports that we cover, and we cover them all over at FTN, and have some tools, some NFL tools, some projections, some player prop tools, models, all that good stuff involved in the betting package. So a shout out to Lutesta who won that. Dude, we've been in communication a little bit. Check your DMs. I wrote you again this morning, so I want to have you fully part of the FTN package. And I don't know if I brought this up yesterday. I don't know if you can really see. I just like fix the light here a little bit. That was the winner of the draw yesterday. Is our guy GZ, George, who's always running the hot fire graphics for us. I don't know if you guys saw the bet that we put in was jokes. Over 3.5 Labatts, minus 2,000 purchase, but would he hammer four of them? And he did. He told me he did, and he originally won, but we couldn't give him. He's got access already, right? So we had to give somebody else, Lutesta, in there as the winner. So congratulations, and George's hot fire with the picks as well. He's been crushing it. But I just thought that one was hilarious. Is the one that we pulled was George and minus 200 for Labatt's purchase and over 3.5 to crush four Labatt's, and apparently he did. So he was probably in pretty good shape that night. A lot to talk about here today, as I mentioned. Tino's going to drop by. There's 9 games in the association. We're going to talk some NBA picks. There's 6 games in the NHL. There are 3 games yesterday. 33 goals scored on the ice yesterday. 33, 5-4 Tampa win. The Habs, I mean, they blew it. I thought they played pretty good, right? Let the kids play. They showed some effort. They hung around, but they found a way to lose. 6-3 Vegas over LA and 8-7 San Jose. I was backing Arizona. I backed Arizona yesterday, and they scored 7 goals, and they lost. The Coyotes scored 7 goals, and they still lost. It was an entertaining game last night. I was up way too late watching it. 7-5 with a couple minutes left, and the Coyotes found a way to tie that, and then it went to a shootout, and the Sharks won that game. So we got some picks, some props in the NHL. We'll talk a little bit about prize picks in a little bit in the next segment. And a little bit about yesterday in NBA DFS was a pretty solid day as well. We will also take a look at the Week 17 lines in the NFL. Early key games, not talking about all of them, but some key matchups. Look at some lines, talk some injuries, some COVID stuff. Seriously, more guys are being placed on COVID. Producer Tino just told me before we went live here that Adam Thielen is done. Undergoing ankle surgery, so his season is cut short. Dalvin Cook activated from the COVID list. And yesterday, the biggest news, Carson Wentz placed on the COVID list as well. That's a huge game this week for the Colts and Las Vegas. He's unvaxxed, so there are some reports that he could miss potentially two games. And now the NFL, I think last time I saw, it's really hard to keep up, guys. I'm not going to lie with some of these COVID protocols, but it does sound like maybe he will only need 5 days of isolation, assuming he's good, no symptoms, and he, you know, obviously has a negative test. So he could play this weekend. The Colts, currently 5-point favorites against the Raiders. It's a huge game for both squads. And Otino is writing Raiders with the eye emoji. He's feeling the Raiders. He's not the only one. Some of my buddies feeling the Raiders as well. Shout out to Mike O'Malon, the biggest Raiders fan in the world, feeling the Raiders this week. But a lot of other people in our chat also feeling the Raiders as well. We see you. Tanakala? Is it Tanakala? My bad, man. Number 88, Bruins. Pasta. Alex Tuck over 2.5 shots. Yes, finally, we could talk Alex Tuck. Remember a couple weeks ago we had Tuck with the Sabres debut, 2.5 shots, but that game got postponed. Sabres and Devils in action tonight, and we do like Alex Tuck here on this show quite a bit. So, NFL week 17 lines, we got NHL, 6 games, NBA stuff. Give some love to the NBA DFS crew and day 5 of the FTN betting giveaway. It's not just betting, we're giving away some DFS stuff, some fantasy packages as well. We'll talk about that in the next segment. But I wanted to just finish this segment by giving some love to John Madden. Unexpectedly passed away yesterday at the age of 85. Iconic GOAT legend, I mean, honestly. Really, one of the best ever. A Hall of Fame coach, 16-time Emmy Award winner. I think the best color guy in the NFL. Like back in the day, and I'm saying back in the day, but like when I was younger, Madden sticks out to me as a color guy where I just learned so much from him. Even playing his Madden games, I learned so much from the playbooks and listening to him. And I've heard players before talk about when they entered the league as rookies and younger players and learning the game of football and playbooks. From Madden. Coach is telling players, just go hang out, play Madden for a little bit. Okay, sure, I'll go play a video game. But honestly, and just learning a lot from the playbooks. He was, I think, the best color guy in history. As I said, I learned a lot from him. 100% likability, honestly, can we say that? I know a lot of powerful people and high, you know, iconic people. I always hear people they say negative things. People are always complaining. They say negative things about certain people. Find something negative about John Madden. You can't. This guy was great. He was an entertainer, obviously a great coach, had a lot of success. He was an entertainer to commercials. I haven't had a chance yet to see his special. If anybody has, please like to know your thoughts on it. It just aired over the weekend. I've heard nothing but great things from him. So I'd love to see that special. And of course, like just a genius head coach, a great color guy, learning a lot from him, an entertainer, and then like hitting all the boxes, right, with the Madden video game, 30 plus years of the Madden video game. Everybody has played the Madden game, and I've obviously had a lot of fun playing. I think we talked about it last week. I'm not spectacular at the Madden game. I think I'm good, and then I play somebody online and I get crushed, but I've a few players that come to mind playing the Madden game over the years that I think were just the best to play with. Like Michael Vick was awesome to play with, right? To run around with Michael Vick, whether it was with the Falcons or the Eagles, certainly as a homer here with the Eagles, it was great with Macklin and Deshaun and McCoy to the backfield, and you run around with Michael Vick. That was great. Peyton Manning was awesome to use as well. It was like the accuracy was just flat out amazing. I mean, I had to stop playing with Peyton because I would win too many games with Peyton against the computer. Marshall Faulk, right? The greatest show on turf with the Rams and running three wide and having Marshall Faulk in there. Calvin Johnson was a beast as well. LT comes to mind. CJ2K comes to mind. A lot of great players come to mind with the Madden game as well. Calvin Johnson, underrated Madden GOAT, absolutely. Anybody hanging out there watching the show, I'd like to hear a couple things I'd like to hear from you today. Your best bet of the day, leave it there in the YouTube section, right? Refresh the show after, think about it throughout the show. Give your best bet of the day. I'd love to hear your favorite sports moment from 2021, something we're going to recap on Thursday. I tweeted out yesterday. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers quote retweeted me and said, obviously, their favorite sports moment, the Grey Cup. And then I also would love to hear your favorite Madden player that you love to use, maybe some memories that you have of Madden. A lot of things stand out to me, but one, and I think about Madden, I think about him just eating the turkey legs right on Thanksgiving. I just see a big bucket of chicken in front of him and him just going to town and eating the turkey legs. That's a moment that sticks with me as well. So rest in peace to the GOAT. 85 years, successful life, and one of the best to ever do it. So a lot of love here on the show for John Madden. We'll be back here next on Mean Streets. Don't go anywhere. You're watching Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany and producer Tino dropping by here. We are going to talk a little Week 17 in the next segment. Tino, you got some NBA stuff as well. I saw you commenting on Calvin Johnson, underrated Madden Go. I saw the friend request on the PS5. Yes, giddy up. You and I are going to have a game pretty soon. That is exciting. But any like Madden memories? It could be video game stuff or anything comes to your mind?
Well, yeah, I wrote it in the chat shortly after. You didn't mention the Madden cover curse. We talk about the George, the George curse here with our boards, but the Madden cover curse was alive and well. It's kind of, you know, not as strong as it was back in the day, but for a while there, guys were dropping like flies. Shout out to Peyton Hillis. Remember that? That's the one that stands out the most.
I do remember that. Yeah, Peyton a Hillis monster season in the cover. I remember him on, like, Jimmy Fallon. I don't know if it was Jimmy Fallon, but, like, The Tonight Show, talking about his, like, what kind of one-year wonder. But that was is that the biggest curse? It might be the biggest one.
I mean, yeah, the Madden curse was a real thing. And it wasn't that, like, sometimes guys got hurt. But I know a lot of the time it was just, like, guys significantly underperformed for the career. Like, Odell was in the cover, and then the next year he did get hurt. But yeah, you kind of go down the list and it kind of stands out to you. But where would we be without Madden, right? I mean, that's kind of the early days of football with me. I mean, that was the first time I got to play coach or GM, right? Like the best thing to do other than doing those old training camps in like Madden 04 was, you know, getting the draft, doing the fantasy draft of rosters, right? You get the entire pool of guys and you draft your own team. That's the only time the Giants have been good over the last 25 years.
That's it. We do have some comments. We see some people, right, talking about it. Tomlinson, absolutely. Tomlinson was a beast. I went back and looked at some of his seasons in the early 2000s. I remember having him on some fantasy teams. I remember there being fights in our home leagues. Like, just everybody wanted that first pick because they wanted LT because he was such an absolute beast. Brendan checks in, says rookie season Cam Newton was unbeatable in Madden as well. Madden curse is real. Ravens looking fishy.
Who was the cover this year? Lamar?
It was the two goats. And it was Mahomes and Brady. And Mahomes kind of went through something, right? In the first, like, there was a patch there. It's like everyone's talking about, like, what the heck is wrong with Mahomes. I agree, Mark. Mike Vick, probably the best Madden player
to
play with.
For sure. Yeah. It's not even close. And that game, that's when Madden was fun because it wasn't as hard to do things. Like, now, even catching, there's, like, three ways to catch a pass. And if you don't catch it the right way, like, you're going to have drop passes. Back then, you could just run with Michael Vick side to side and launch it in the air and make things happen. So, back when Madden was fun.
Brendan, are you Rat Pack? Have we been chatting back and forth on Discord? Sorry, I don't know all the names, but I did see you say that you messaged me about Vancouver. You love Vancouver tonight. No Zegras, still no Henrique. Yeah, I also like the Canucks. They're perfect 6-0 with Bruce Boudreau. So we'll talk about them in just a little bit. But yeah, kind of get, you know, the names a little mixed up. McCormick says Madden taught him how to handle defeat with anger.
Yep.
And then with defeat after defeat, handle them with grace, right? Yeah. It's a difficult game, honestly. Like, if you just pick it up and you're looking at the playbooks, and if you're new to the game, you do the coaching suggestions. But if you really kind of dive into the playbook and the personnel, and if you don't know football that much, heck, if you do, it is challenging. Are you a guy that, you know, are you, I play against a guy who's straight up, he'll call his play and he's just changing out the line of scrimmage. Audible.
Oh,
he's
like audibles. Omaha, audibles Omaha, for Omaha. Days.
And I think that's kind of the key to the game.
Oh, 100%. Well, and I told you, I love running the read option. Now that they added RPOs, that's huge. Not the triple. The triple gets too complicated because then you got to pitch with the bumper. It's too much. Sometimes the bumpers are broken from smashing your controller of playing Madden, right? McCormick's right. Madden, the other thing you got to mention, Madden probably tore some families apart, right? I mean, I remember playing my younger brother playing Madden. Younger brother beats you a Madden. No one plays Madden for the rest of the day. It's my game. Everyone back away, right? So, Madden, love it or hate it. Yeah, tore some families apart.
So I'll wait for the next segment to kind of pump my tires. There's no point of you sitting here and me just like, oh, look at this guy. Look at this guy. Since you're here hanging out, we're also going to have you come back and talk NBA. Let's just take a look at week 17 in the NFL. If you have that board handy, let's also go through some stuff here. So I wrote some key games here this weekend. The Eagles were 4-point favorites yesterday. They're 3.5 against Washington. Man, I'll tell you what, I'm nervous about this game. Miami and Tennessee, this is a big one for both teams. Miami riding a 7-game winning streak. We talked about them yesterday. The first team in NFL history to have a 7-game losing streak and a 7-game winning streak in the same season, and also looking to become the first team to start 1-7 and then make the playoffs. Of course, the extra game this year does help them. Las Vegas and Indianapolis, I know that you're riding Vegas here, and with no Carson Wentz, you may be onto something. We'll keep an eye on that as the week progresses here. No Thursday night football, keep in mind. We won't have Jill here tomorrow to talk about it, but we'll dive into a lot of these games and DFS and props throughout the week. We got the Rams, 3.5-point favorites against Baltimore, and I'm sure, unsure of Lamar's status here, Tino, but this does feel like kind of like when the Rams were favored by 3.5 or 3 against the Vikings last week. I like them regardless if Lamar plays. Their defense is not good right now. Kansas City, 5-point favorites against Cincinnati. Interesting. Denver and the Chargers, this is a big one. More importantly for the Chargers than the Broncos. A tough loss last week for them against the Broncos. They're 5.5-point favorites. Kind of leaning Denver there as, you know, a division game, pretty tight. And then we have Dallas at 5.5. against Arizona. And I didn't even talk to you before here. I just threw, you know, 6 or 7 games that I thought were interesting games, key games this week. What stands out to you, maybe from just a personal standpoint, you wanted to watch some of these games, or from a betting standpoint, does any really jump off the page to you?
Yeah, I mean, you didn't have to discuss it with me. Just looking at the board, I think I might take all 4 games plus 5. I might take every team getting 5, 5.5 points. I think the Cardinals can cover that against Dallas. Dallas has been super inconsistent. Denver beat the Chargers by 2 touchdowns the last time they played, and the Chargers obviously lost to Houston last week, so that's in question. I do kind of – if you like the Chargers, now's the time to get on that number. I know Drew Lock is starting, so it could change some things up. Quarterbacks do move the line, so the Chargers end up going to 6. You won't love it as much because you can get it under a touchdown right now. Cincinnati at home getting 5 is interesting. Kansas City's rolling. Very. They're on the win streak, but let's not forget they're terrible against the spread. And then, yeah, the Raiders. I mean, if you're going to get the Raiders plus 5 and Ellinger ends up starting – I mean, yeah, I feel like that's a steal because that line's probably going to drop down to 3. Quarterbacks, like I said, move the line. So the 3.5s, I tend to try to stay away. But to your point, especially if Lamar's not playing, I do like the Rams 3.5. It's just, I don't know, the Ravens are chippy at home. They tend to play in field goal games too. So the hook would kind of scare me there. The hook would kind of scare me a little bit there. But I like the 5s, man. You can take 4 games getting plus 5, and I think we can go 3-1 on those, just blindly getting those points.
The Chiefs don't really cover. Over the past couple of years, they haven't covered. I'll come with some concrete stats later on in the week, but this is something I talked about on this show before, earlier in the year. I believe they were like 1-7 in the first few weeks of the season covering the spread. And Cincinnati's rolling. They're playing pretty good. I understand the defense is strong, but for them to go into Cincinnati feeling like, you know, the Bengals are going to be – they're going to be up for this game, man. This is like, hey, we're playing, you know, one of the best teams in the NFL over the past couple of years. This is a bar that's going to be set for them. Like, where do they rank, right, among some of the best in the NFL? And also, at home, if they win this game, that's it, man. They're going to win the division, and that's super key for them.
I also want to address what Brandon just said. Look, you have a point, but I think the line, because he's talking about how the Cardinals are broken. I'm not saying the Cardinals need to win this game, but I'm saying they'll cover because I think this is an overreaction line. I just think it's too many points. Cardinals is 7-1 on the road. Their only loss is against the Lions during this 3-game winning losing streak. Like, it just for me, you look at Dallas blowing Washington out. Like, they're great against the spread. I get that. But, like, I just think it's an overreaction, kind of. I just think this should be at, like, 3, 3.5. I just think it's a point or half a point too many. You know, a point and a half too many there.
I see both sides of it. I see what you're saying. I still think that Arizona's a good team. And I see what Brendan's saying. I do believe that they're a little bit broken on offense.
For sure.
Kyler doesn't look the same. There's some things going on there, absolutely. But what do we know about Dallas when they're favored by nearly a touchdown at home? Right? We know this, right? We've seen it a couple times already. Las Vegas, we saw it on Turkey Day. Like, things like this do happen. But Dallas is pretty dominant at home, and Dak, and what they did last week was pretty spectacular. But at the same time, right, Washington... They were going in depleted. Dude, guys were fighting with each other. Did you see? Man, was it sweat?
We didn't talk about that. Yeah, that was.
You don't push another man's temple in a heated environment. I don't think you do that anyways.
So I was watching that with some family who are non-football people, and I was losing my mind. I watched it live. I was like, oh my God, like he threw the punch. And they're like, well, he didn't really connect. I was like, it's not even about connecting. It's the fact that that happened, right? Like teammates don't do that, let alone like line mates. And just, I mean, that was, it was personal. That punch was personal. Dude put his finger in his face and he threw the punch. So yeah, yeah, Washington fell apart there. I mean, from the top down. I don't know.
What do you
man.
Think? What, sorry to cut you off. What do you think about the Philly and Washington team? I'd like to hear from you, somebody who knows the division, obviously for me, but you know, I know the division as well, but clearly I follow the Eagles pretty closely. Washington getting spanked like that on primetime, fighting with each other. Is it, are they done now? Are they just going to be completely flat? Or is that like, hey, listen, we're still alive here in the playoffs. It starts with beating a team like Philadelphia, and maybe all that happening in primetime maybe kind of sparks them. Like, I feel like it could go the other way too. Like, hey, you know what? It's go time now. We just got embarrassed. We need to like look in the mirror and kind of step up.
Well, I think Washington's out of it, but I do think that they're not going to give up. Look, here's what I'll say. It's 3.5, right? The line is 3.5. This Philly team was 3-3 with the Giants at halftime last week. Yeah. That actually happened. The Giants can't even score, and it was 3-3. Like, so in terms of just the spread, I mean, and Washington being at home, getting 3.5, I think you play the line and feel pretty good about it. Because to your point, and we've always said it, yeah, it's a cliche, but these divisional games are typically decided by a field goal. Now, granted, Washington played 3 divisional games in a row, and none of them have been decided by a field goal.
But they haven't been 100%, right? I mean, they were rolling out 4th-string quarterbacks when they played the Eagles a couple weeks ago, right? They didn't have Heineke in there. They still are kind of limping into this game, but I agree, Brandon. Those players won't quit on Rivera. Nope. He's a heck of a coach, and there's still like some fight left in them for the playoffs. I agree, they're probably done. Realistically, they're not officially eliminated, but they still do have a chance as well. And I also agree with Brandon with Kingsbury. I think he's been, you know, overthinking a few things and some of his coaching decisions for sure. But Kyler does have to be better. It is.
I was all the way here for Kingsbury wanted to get out and go coach Oklahoma.
Remember we were talking 6 weeks ago about him potentially being coach of the year? I mean, that is out the window now. I mean, I still think it's probably Belichick, but that might be wide open.
We don't have enough time in the segment for coach of the year. We should do a segment on coach of the year. I think we can make some cases. You can make even on some bad teams. Even on some bad teams, you can make a case on coach of the year. So
maybe we'll do some futures. Maybe we'll do some futures. Bring up that board one more time. Everybody hanging out with us live, if you're watching on Game Plus, again, jump on over to our FTN YouTube page. I'd like to know also, not just your best bet of the day, maybe on this board. What's your favorite pick on this board as we creep a little bit closer? Now, again, things can change. I gave a Colts pick on Monday when they played on Saturday, and then all bunch of players popped up on the COVID list, and I was super nervous about the pick. We can't delete that stuff in the tracker. It is what it is. I'd be a little cautious, just like you said yesterday with your NBA pick. Same thing applies to the NHL when you're making just straight sides and stuff. I would like to, you got to kind of wait it out as long as you can, but at the same time, some of these lines could change. So it's all about what kind of risk you want to take. Brendan says Miami 3.5 all day. I kind of agree with that one. Mm. And I do like the Rams. I do like the Rams. As much as you said about the Ravens, I like this Rams team. I think they're dominant. Too. They're starting to, aren't they starting to hit their stride? Tampa's going through some stuff right now, but the Rams. We got a break in a second, but the Rams are really starting to hit their stride, aren't they, Tino? I'm starting to feel about them like I felt about them a few weeks ago. Right? I've been off. I'm back on now.
Well, I'm all the way here for the Rams. I selfishly need them to close this out and win, so I love them. Also, I'm not signing up for Josh Johnson. I'm not betting on him. But you want to know the one thing? I am emotionally attached to Ravens at home plus 3.5 because of that Browns game when they were down like 22 points and they backdoor covered and almost won the 3.5. That's why it's like I won on that. It's hard for me to not try to go and take those points again. They don't go away. They don't go away. So tread lightly is what I'm trying to warn you guys. If Lamar Huntley play, just tread lightly. If it's Johnson, I love it.
Couple news items here before we do officially break here. Adam Thielen, as I mentioned, underwent season-ending ankle surgery. That's a huge loss for the Vikings. If they lose in Green Bay this weekend, they're most likely done. DeAndre Swift, Dan Campbell says that he will be ready to play week 17. If you were in the finals week 17 here with DeAndre Swift, I would be hesitant to use him. I think it's going to be a bit of a committee using all these guys. So Swift, I probably will have him ranked in the mid to late 20s. Unfortunately, I think he's a stud. I just don't know if he's going to have a full go here this week. weekend. Rappaport says Broncos expect to start Drew Lock this week against the Chargers. It's great news if you're a Chargers fan. Nick Sirianni says Miles Sanders will not be placed on IR. He does have the broken hand. I mentioned Cook is activated from the COVID list. Our guy Brendan did talk about Lamar. John Harbaugh says that he expects Lamar to return to practice here today, limited fashion. The Colts activated Quentin Nelson, a huge part of that offensive line. And then Frank Reich says if Wentz clears COVID protocol on Sunday morning, he will start week 17 against the Raiders. And there were some reports that the Colts were talking about Phillip Rivers and stuff, but let's be honest, that's not going to happen. All right, we'll take a quick break. I'll return, give some love to the NBA DFS package. Want to talk some prize pick stuff. We still have some NHL picks and some NBA picks on this show as well, so keep her locked. Welcome back to Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network. I love the conversation back and forth in the Discord channel, or the Discord channel and the YouTube live chat here. I'm all about this. I just love, like, I just love sports combos. I just like people, you know, talking back and forth, you know, Miami plus three all day. You know, somebody says no, Tennessee, Bengals, Packers undefeated at home. Yeah, Vikings are probably going to lose. I think it'll be an entertaining game, a close one, but I do think the Packers will probably win that game. And then the road to the Super Bowl in the NFC is going to have to go through Lambeau. And that's a very tough place to play football, as I'm sure all you guys know. So a couple things here that I wanted to talk about here in this segment. Yesterday was a pretty good day from an NBA DFS standpoint. And I just have to give some love to you know, some of the guys over at FTN, what they do here. So we had a fourth place finish here yesterday in one of the DFS contests, as you see there, the lineup, and took down just $1,125. It's US, so that's like 25, you know, K Canadian. Jokes aside, but a lot of love here to Quisenberg DFS and Tenacious D Jones. Both guys have been on our show here, Mean Streets. Quisenberg DFS, aka Zach Graham. Man, phenomenal stuff hosting almost every day over at FTN. Some DFS picks, some NBA picks. He's a sharp NFL mind as well. And then David Jones, we've had on this show as well. So I caught their show late last night before tip-off, and got to give them a lot of love, a lot of credit. I mean, this lineup, you know, certainly make the decisions myself, but they were pumping a lot of these guys' tires. I mean, Jones there you see with the 46.25 points. That was Quisenberg DFS's go-to guy. Rubio was a go-to guy for Tenacious D Jones as well. And we got a lot of great stuff over at FTN Daily. And the projections have been spot on all year for you know, Kyle Murray running the show there. Projections, ownership projections, and all these guys, Adam Pfeiffer pumping out NBA content. Super, super sharp guys. And yesterday I saw a lot of green screens in our NBA Discord channel. So a lot of people having success. So I just wanted to give some love to those guys, really. And I know people will say things like, you know, when people win, they take all the credit, and when they lose, they're hard on people who gave those picks. But honestly, these guys have been sharp all year long, and if it wasn't for them, wouldn't have been able to have that success with that lineup. And with that said, brings me to day five of the FTN 12 Days of Christmas. And it is buy one, get one, the NBA DFS package, as you see here. Buy one, get one, free month of gold with purchase of NBA DFS. Honestly, these guys are absolute goats. They're studs. I want to just give a lot of, like, Tenacious D Jones, David Jones is winning all the time. Like, he deserves all the props and as the guys say, all the beans and the props. I'm a little bit, you know, late to the party when it comes to the beans, but Quisenberg DFS, man, Zach Allen, this guy absolutely gets it. I think he is a super sharp host. The way that the show flows is phenomenal, breaking down all the games. He is so in tune with the game of basketball and answering all the questions in the Discord channel as well. So if you want to get the NBA DFS package, you can use the promo code XMIS5. Save yourself a little bit of cash, right? And then you will get the FTN gold packages. And we talked about yesterday, the gold package includes NHL, college sports, esports, soccer, tennis, and NASCAR. So a pretty good deal here today. And then we will have day six. Again, we have a few more days of giving away some packages. So just wanted to give them a lot of love. And I see some questions about Rubio. Yeah, possibly tore his ACL. He left late last night. Selfishly, I wanted another assist for the triple-double to get the extra points there to move up from fourth place. But hopefully, you know, Rubio is okay. It does sound like a pretty significant injury, and he's been pretty good. And he's obviously was a big part of that lineup yesterday. So a little bit of love to those guys and also some prize pick stuff here too. So, yeah, it does feel a little weird to sit here and just, you know, talk about the success that I had, but also some success that other people are having. And I keep pumping prize picks. So, Tino, if you have yesterday's action and prize picks, we weren't able to give these prize picks plays on this show, and I don't have any prize picks plays today on this show, but I gave a video yesterday late last night on this FTN YouTube page. I keep pumping prize picks because there's an edge here. There's an edge to be had. Most books are not offering 2.5 shots for some of these players. And I've talked about the NFL lines being a little bit softer over at Prize Picks and the free Prize Picks edge tool that Jeff Ratcliffe has. You can really find an edge. So yesterday was a perfect day in the NHL. You see some of the pick entries. 2 for 2 with the Victor Hedman. They had a Taco Tuesday special like they do every Tuesday. Giannis was bumped down to 21.5 points, so we got that one at 2-1. And then for the flex play, you just need 3 of the 4. The Hedman 2.5 shots, the Cole Caulfield 2.5 shots, the Palat over 1.5 shots, and the Giannis 2.5 shots. We actually had all 4 of those. You just needed 3 of the 4. If you go 3 of the 4, it pays 4-1. And if you go 4 for 4, it pays 9-1. And then up at the top, you see the two pick power play with Clayton Keller and Erik Karlsson. We had both of those. And then another one, flex play, you need 3 of the 4, which we got lucky here because we didn't get Shea Theodore 2.5 shots, but we got Karlsson, Kempe, and Clayton Keller. So wanted to give some love to Prize Picks and FTNDaily.com. We have a free tab up at the top. It's a Prize Picks tab. We're giving plays and picks every single day across all the sports that Prize Picks has to offer. It's a simple over or under on a player's prop or their fantasy score. And again, you don't have to go perfect. You can go 3 for 4, you can go 2 for 3 and still earn yourself a bit of a profit. And there's an edge. If you're just somebody who likes to play 2 props on DraftKings and FanDuel, Bet365, whatever, it's usually those 2 props you're going to pay out like plus 186. Over at PrizePicks, it's 2-1 all the time. So I encourage everybody to go over and check it out. You have any questions, don't be afraid to ask. Reach out. If you are just new to PrizePicks, use that promo code FTN. They'll match your first deposit 100%. First deposit match of up to $100. And if you're already signed up to PrizePicks, tell a friend. Hey, sign up here. And that's a free $25 in your PrizePicks account. So like I said, lots of action in the NHL. You can mix and match across all the sports. Looking at PrizePicks right now, there's no shot props to be had just yet. But there will be some that surface, and I will have some in our free Prize Picks Discord channel, and you can get there by visiting FTNDaily.com and clicking the chat link up at the top. Tis the season for giving. We're trying to give some cash away. There's a lot of super sharp minds over at FTN, so you can mix and match, take a hockey shot prop, an esports one, a college sports one, and maybe an NFL one as well, and away you go. We'll break, and we'll get into the action for tonight. We'll turn the page on yesterday. Yesterday was great. Hopefully we continue to have some success here. I got some NHL props and some picks here on Mean Streets when we return on Game Plus Network. All right, now that we're done pumping our tires for yesterday, let's give some losing picks for today. That's usually how it goes. No, jokes aside, we gotta. You know, I'm happy to have the NHL back, right? George Z is happy to have the NHL back. We'll talk some NBA in a little bit with Tino. So this is what I'm thinking here today for some props. Yes, we mentioned Alex Tuch a little bit earlier here today. I like Alex Tuch. I expect him to be on the first line. This is his Buffalo Sabres debut here today. He grew up as, I'm buying into everything from the narrative standpoint of him being a Sabres fan as a kid, him being super jacked tonight to play his first game as a Buffalo Sabre at home in front of the fan base against a leaky New Jersey Devils squad. I am all about Alex Tuch, and honestly, I've always been about Alex Tuch. I like this guy. I think he's a phenomenal hockey player. He played with the Vegas Golden Knights over the past couple years as a third-line player. You could name 28 other teams in the NHL where he would be a first-line player, first power play duties, things that he just didn't get in Vegas. Like, they're so stacked. He was playing on that third line, getting second power play duties. When they were injured and shorthanded, he would jump up and he would be an absolute machine. I think even in his first game of the season, recovering from offseason shoulder surgery, part of the Jack Eichel deal, I think that this guy is probably going to get about 18 minutes. And when he's full going here, I think he's going to be 20 minutes, like almost nightly. I think the Sabres are a little shorthanded here today. So I think he's going to get a lot of opportunity here today in his first game. 2.5 shots. This is something that I took when he was a member of the Golden Knights. I have no problem taking it here this evening. Tarasenko, Ekblad, Terry, and McCann here. The rest of the few Let me just give some reasons why. I mean, I don't have any data for Tuck just going back to last year, but he is plus 105 for three shots here today. For Vladimir Tarasenko, minus 155 over at DraftKings. Other books have him at 3.5. I wouldn't go the 3.5 route. If you can't find 2.5 at minus 155, I don't love it as a single, but you can include it into a parlay. I think Pavel Buchnevich is in play as well. That second line in St. Louis has been phenomenal. The Oilers are shorthanded today. Darnell Nurse is not on this board because I don't think that he's going to play. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins may not play. Jesse Puljujärvi may not play either. Still pretty early in the day. Some of these guys may get activated from the COVID list. Some of them may not. But for Tarasenko, he has at least four shots in three straight games and 13 over that span. He's cleared 2.5 in five of his past six. And the Edmonton Oilers are inside the top 10 in shots allowed at 5-5 per 60 cents November 15th. That from Nat Statrick. Aaron Ekblad is one of those few defensemen that I will take every time at over 3.5. We can get this at plus 120 over at Caesars. He's had at least four shots in seven of his past eight games and eight of his last 10 games. And he eats up a lot of ice time. It looks like the Panthers are going to be at full health here today. Alexander Barkov returning to the lineup. Jonathan Huberto and Sam Bennett returning to the lineup as well. Troy Terry, 2.5 at plus 125 over at DraftKings. He's cleared 2.5 in four of his past five games since Ryan Getzlaf returned to the lineup. Remember, he started the season, he was red hot, he was unbelievable, and then he cooled off. Part of that, I think, was Getzlaf not being in the lineup, right? Getzlaf is a pass-first guy. He looks to Terry, and Terry has 20 shots over his last five games with Getzlaf in the lineup. Here's another plus money one is Jared McCann over 2.5 shots, a member of the Seattle Kraken. He's cleared 2.5 in four straight games and eight of his last 10. He has 20 shots on goal in his last five games, and the Flyers have allowed a league high 35.7 shots per 60 at 5-5 since November 15th. Also a league high shot attempts allowed at 5-5 per 60 over the last 6 weeks as well. McCann trending up. No tag for Buffalo, question mark. From a shot prop standpoint, I don't know if he's going to play. I think he's day-to-day. I'm not sure if he's going to play here tonight. Mark, I got some point props for you as well, Tino, if you have that one handy. Some assist and some point props here. I think Mika Zibanejad is up on the top of the board as well. If you do have that one, we can roll through it, or we can break, and we can get back into it. There we go. So yesterday, the shot props were 4-for-5, and the point props were 4-for-5. So this is something new to me this year. I dove into it a little bit last year. I was kind of taking unders. I was taking third line scrub players, honestly, like minus 140 for no points. And we see Rodman in here, and he's had a lot of success betting unders. Have some, you know, if you have a question or two, maybe Rodman can help you out there betting unders. These are all overs, but for Mika Zibanejad over, or just for him to have an assist here at plus 130, I think he hits the score sheet. This is a game 6.5 Rangers and the Panthers. I think we'll see a lot of offense here. Mika Zibanejad's been a lot better lately. Aaron Ekblad as well to have an assist. He's just going to eat up a lot of ice time. I think that's going to be a high scoring game. Now you can't parlay these two in here. I love Coaster's Corner checking in. Zibanejad over 2.5 shots. Absolutely. I do believe he is back. He has looked like himself. I have him in the bet tracker at 2.5 shots, but I gave you the Ekblad. I have a whole lot more in the bet tracker, a lot of shot props that I like, but Mika Zibanejad is starting to turn it up a little bit. He was basically invisible in the first couple weeks of the season, but over the past couple of weeks, he has been himself. So I like him to hit the score sheet to get an apple. He's like minus 160 for a point. I don't mind that either. I just want to give some plus money plays here. Aaron Ekblad for an assist. Alex Tuck, as I mentioned, to get an assist. I think he's almost plus 240, plus 245, I believe, to get an assist, but I think he hits the score sheet. This is a safer bet for the point. Vladimir Tarasenko, I mentioned that second line with Pavel Buchnevich. These two guys have been really good, and the Oilers give up a lot of quality chances. And if they're going to be without Darnell Nurse, who plays anywhere from 22 to 28 minutes a night, he's creeped into the 30s. He's had 4-minute shifts several times over the past few weeks of the season. I like him as well. Tarasenko, just that second line in St. Louis, I think they'll have their way. And then Brock Besser to have a point. Brock Besser is another guy that I didn't include for shot props, but I have him at 2.5 as well. He's got 5 goals and 7 points to go along with 20 shots in his last 6 games. And those 6 games are important because when Bruce Boudreau took over from Vancouver, they're undefeated. They're 6-0, and Brock Besser has not only been scoring and hitting the score sheet, he's been shooting the puck as well. At least 4 shots in 4 of his past 6 games. He's cleared 2.5 in 4 of his last 5, and the one game that he didn't was against a stingy Carolina team. But the one thing Bruce Boudreau said to Brock Besser, he said it himself. The first thing that he said, the first player that he found in Vancouver when he took over, where's Brock Besser? And he looked around and he said that he had a conversation with Besser. Dude, shoot the puck. You are a sniper. You're one of the better goal scorers in the league, and he is. And he went through a moment where he wasn't shooting. He was passing it off. It's a confidence thing. And ever since Bruce Boudreau has been behind the bench, Vancouver is playing better hockey, led by guys like Brock Besser, JT Miller, Quinn Hughes. Elias Pettersson has stepped up his game a little bit. Besser is a volume shooter. He loves to shoot the puck, and he's doing it lately, and he's scoring. And, you know, he's got, what, points? And he's got 7 points here since Bruce Boudreau took over in those 6 games. So I like him to hit the score sheet, and I think, you know, he's probably a good bet to score a goal as well. All right, break. One more hockey, couple little hockey things, and then we'll give Tino, 35 seconds or so to give his NBA picks. Mean Streets continues here on Game Plus. Watching Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network. I see Dustin hanging out with us yesterday. He said, big day for me yesterday, thanks to Dangle Betselli. I hope I don't come across as like, I just don't want to be that smug dude who comes across as like, hey, look at me with all these picks. But yesterday, honestly, was just a pretty good day. We called a lot of goals on that show. We had Palat, Timo Meier, Marchessault, Kempe, and Keller. We had a pretty decent day on that show. We'll be back tomorrow to break it all down, but we will have some NHL picks on this show tomorrow as well. It's not about me, guys. I just want to see other people have success. And honestly, it kills me when we go like 3 or 4 days where it's like no picks are right. So hopefully we can continue to have some success here. I got some NHL picks, Tino, if you want to bring this up. It is tough. Mark, I agree. Why don't Sportsbooks allow same game parlays soon? I really do think it will be soon. Like a game tonight with the Rangers and the Panthers. Like, look, I got the over 6. Like, giddy up. I think we're going to see some goals. I would take everybody's shot props, assists, Mika Zibanejad, Panarin assists, Ekblad assists, Ekblad points. Like, everybody. I love this game so much. I know that Igor Shesterkin is back at 6. It's totally up to you what you want to do with your bets. If you're going to do a parlay, this is just a piece of advice. If you're going to do a parlay, this is how I roll. If I'm going to roll a 3 or 4 leg parlay, I'm going to throw a total in there at 6. You can get 6.5 if you want. Plus money 6.5 is a single, I think, is a great bet. But nothing burns me more than losing a parlay if I see a 4-2 final and I nail the rest of my parlay and I don't get it because of the 6. And I got a little greedy and I wanted the 6.5. I don't mind the push just to get a little bit of cash, right? It's like flex. It's like the flex play in Prize Picks, 3 for 4, right? It's like hedge life. How many times you go 3 for 4 on a parlay or 4 for 5 and you don't get anything for it? That's why I love Prize Picks. Yes, George, big day for him too. Curse absolutely reversed. He had LeBron on that graphic yesterday. LeBron was a big part of why we took down some cash yesterday. But it's totally up to you. If you want to do a single, you can take 6.5 on both the Rangers, Florida, Edmonton, and St. Louis. Or if you want to put into a parlay, put 6. And then in case you kind of cover yourself, if it's a 4-2 game or 6 goals are scored, it's a push, and then you get the rest. But I have no problem with either of those games at 6.5. I think we see some offense. As I mentioned yesterday, there were 30-plus goals scored in those 3 games. Maybe this is a trend that we can continue to attack here with just some teams coming off the break and COVID, and so many teams are depleted. A lot of sloppiness, I think, what I saw yesterday in particular, a lot of sloppiness. And that could carry over here. So I like the Canucks can continue their trend. I love the Ducks. I love this Anaheim team at home usually. No Zegras here today. Canucks plus money. St. Louis over Edmonton. Edmonton missing some dudes here today. So I like the Blues. Again, maybe you want to wait it out with some of these bets to see if Edmonton gets some guys back healthy. Washington over Nashville. I like this Preds team. They've been great on the road. They've been plus money. They've been really favorable to us on this show. But doesn't look like Roman Josi is going to play, and Washington does have Kuznetsov and Backstrom back here today. I think no Roman Josi is huge, and we don't know if Matthew Shane is going to play in that game as well. Another upset here, the Flyers over Seattle. Looks like the Kraken are going to miss a few blue liners here today, so I'm going to take Philadelphia. I would like to see Sean Couturier back in that lineup as well, but I am going to take Philly at plus 118. They're playing a little bit better hockey lately as well, so that's what I'm thinking. Maybe you want to wait it out, though, closer to puck drop, because you just don't know. It's complete chaos in the world right now when it comes to COVID-19. One more break. We'll bring in producer Tino, who's got some NBA picks for us here next. Welcome back to Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network. Fix the camera live on the squad. Tino, NBA, dude, what do you got for us? I know what we said yesterday. Same thing applies. Wait it out as long as you can. But what are your early leans here in the association?
Well, first, let's address I called out LeBron. Basically almost took his man card last night. And that if they lost to the Rockets, I didn't want to hear his name uttered anymore. They pushed the spread at 5.
They almost lost.
They did not cover the spread, but he did have a triple-double. So we can continue to talk about LeBron James. So I see that Rodman's in the chat, and he's actually talking about Mason Plumlee, and he mentioned Russell Westbrook. Let's start with Plumlee's team. I like the Hornets a lot with the 3.5 today. I wanted to go money line, but I think the 3.5 makes the most sense. These teams have played super close twice. The Hornets won both matchups by 1 and by 3. Obviously, by that logic, I'd love the insurance. They're not great on the road, but they do have a lot of people back. Now they're missing a few heads, but I don't know. Other than when you play LaMelo in Daily Fantasy, he tends to do pretty well this season. So I like them getting 3.5 points against a team they played relatively well against. I'm going back to the Celtics well here at home. They were the only team I've seen with my own eyes slow down the freight train of the Cleveland Cavaliers. And they were able to do that at home, and they won by 10. So they're getting -5.5 against a Clippers team that really just doesn't have anybody right now. Batum out, Reggie Jackson out. Paul George, obviously, no Leonard for the year or Pierce for the year. So getting under 6, under a 2-possession game there with 2 threes, I really like that. The one I'm worried about is Kings money line. The spread's at 1, 1.5 from what I saw it. I never really get the Kings right. But no Doncic. The last time they faced off, Doncic was the key player in that matchup as Dallas won at home. I think at home here, you can take them money line with De'Aaron Fox back. They got to win eventually. And then the last one I'll go with here is the Hawks 8.5. I think it's a little tricky. They just played the Bulls. They're going to do a home and away here. Bulls beat them by 12. But with Trey back, I kind of like the scrappiness the Hawks have been playing with. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say they're going to win, but they just lost by 12. I think, you know, kind of an overreaction line here where it's like, well, the Bulls should do it again. But the Bulls are really banged up. No Lonzo, no Caruso. I know they got a bunch of guys out. DeRozan's been, I mean, not getting enough respect this season. I'll definitely say that. He is the king of the fourth quarter right now for the Bulls. And I'm sure this game will probably come down to the stretch and he'll win it for them. But I like 8.5. If we can get the hook, I see some places. It's down at 8. I love getting the hook.
FanDuel
there.
FanDuel BetMGM 8.5.
Yeah. So if I can get the hook, I'll take it. Yeah.
We did announce yesterday's winner. We didn't do it. It kind of slipped my mind, but don't worry. We will announce today's winner tomorrow and yesterday's winner tomorrow as well. We're not going to forget about you. So leave your best bet, Eric. I don't know how you do it, dude. I just see that comment that you accidentally bet 400 and turned it into 2,400 on Christian Wood first basket. I don't know how you do it, man, but congrats to you, brother. Leave your best bet. Leave your best bet of the day in the YouTube section. Have a good one from producer Tino George running the graphics for us. Chris Meany here. We'll talk to you soon.